بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our fourth session. Session number four, reading from Lessons in Arabic Language. Medina Book 3, Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be taking a new lesson, lesson number two. But before we do that, we want to just take a quick look, overview of the last points that we covered from lesson number one, that is, when nouns are marfu'un, and when nouns are mansub and majroor, and the four types of nouns of dependent declension, and the moods of verbs. And then, that's an overview, and then we want to complete what we didn't complete last week, that is the questions, the final questions, seven questions on page 19. The questions at the end of the second part of chapter 1 on page 19. So we're going to look at those questions and we're going to take those questions. We didn't do them last week. And then after that, we'll go into the new lesson. Okay, so as far as the quick overview of what we covered in the second part of lesson 1, so we covered the main types of nouns or situations in which nouns are marfu'un in their nominative case. And we said that is when they are mubtada, or when they are the khabar of a jumla ismiya, when they are the ism of kana and the khabar of inna. Because the rules for kana and akhawatuha and inna wa akhawatuha are the opposite. So the ism of kana is marfu'un, while the khabar of inna is marfu'un. And then we said also the fa'il of the jumla ismiya, the subject, doer of the action, and the naib fa'il, which we'll be taking in the next lesson of this, book 3, lesson number 3. The other matters related to the situations in which a noun is marfu'un, all of those we have covered previously in book 2. Except that the details of Mubtada and Khabar are going to come in this level 3 course, lesson number 11. Otherwise, the rest of this, other than the details of Mubtada and Khabar, all of this we have covered previously, except the Naib Fa'il, we're going to be taking that in lesson 3. Then we looked at the Mansubat min al-Asma, yani the situations in which a noun is Mansub, the main situations in which a noun is Mansub. A few of these we've covered already, that is the ism inna, we covered in book 2, lesson 1, and the khabaru kana, which we covered in book 2, lesson 2, 7, and mainly in 25, and the mafu'ulun bi, which we also covered in book 2, lesson 5. So these are the things, the situations in which a noun is mansub that we covered previously. Everything else after that, pretty much, except the munada. The munada muvawf, we did cover in book 2, lesson 9. The rest of those things, they will be covered in book 3, either in the first part of book 3, level 3 course, or in the second part of book 3, level 4 course. And that is the maf'ulun fihi. And we've seen some examples of maf'ulun fihi previously in book 2, but we're going to study it in detail in this level 3 course, lesson number 12. The maf'ulun li'ajli. The rest of these things are going to be taken in level 4, in the second part of book 2, maf'ulun li'ajli, maf'ulun ma'ahu, maf'ulun mutlaq, hal, tamyiz, and mustathna. With the exception of maf'ulun ma'ahu, it's not actually covered. We're not going to cover that. But anyway, we did talk about it a little bit last week. And so these are the situations in which a noun is going to be mansub. Then we looked at the situations, the main situations in which a noun is going to be majroor, and that is two situations, both of which we covered in book 1, lesson 4 and lesson 5. That is the mudhaf ilayhi, when a noun is mudhaf ilayhi, it's going to be majroor, and when a noun is preceded by a harf jar, yani the object of a preposition. After that, we covered the tawabi', or the situations, the nouns, types of nouns that are dependent, that have dependent declension, that is, that their i'rab depends on a word before it, that it's associated with, and we said that there are four types of nouns: the na't, which is dependent upon the i'rab of the man'ut; the tawkid, which is dependent upon the i'rab of the al-mu'akkad; the ataf, which is dependent upon the noun that it is ma'tuf alayhi, that is ma'tuf alayhi; the badal, which is dependent upon the i'rab of the mubdal minhu. And those are the four situations. Some of that we covered previously. Some of these affairs we've looked at. Tawkid in book 2, and the na't in book 1, and ataf we've seen from the beginning of book 1, lesson 2. As far as the badal, we've seen some types of badal. Yes, we have seen some types of badal in book 1, lesson 8, and in book 2, lesson 16. But the four types of badal, four different types of badal, yani is going to be, that will be studied in level 4, yani book 3, lesson 21. Okay, after that we looked at, very briefly, the subject of al-bina, yani the situation in which verbs are mabniyun, and the situation in which verbs are mu'rab. We said that verbs, al-af'al, are all mabniyun. Yani the past tense verbs and the command form verbs are all mabniyun, with the exception of the present tense, the mudari. The mudari verbs, we said, are all mu'rab, unless yani noon and niswa is attached to it, is isnaded to it, or the noon at tawkid. So basically, in this last part of lesson 1, we looked at verbs, the mudari verbs specifically, and what's related to it being mu'rab. Generally, we said the alamat al-i'rab al-asliya is, yani for the mudari verb, when it's marfoon, it takes dhamma; when it's mansub, it takes fatha; when it's majzoom, it takes sukoon. And then we said that there are secondary signs in two situations, al-af'al al-khamsa, that is, and we covered this in book 2, the af'al al-khamsa, they are the second and third person masculine plurals, like yadhabuna and tadhabuna, and the second and third person duals, like yadhabani and tadhabani, and the second person feminine singular, yani anti tadhabina. These five forms, yani mudari verb forms, that have an extra noon after the waw, or after the alif of ithnain, or after the ya of ya al-mukhatiba. These five forms of the mudari verb that have the extra noon, we said that they have a secondary sign of i'rab, and that is when they are marfu'un, it is thubut al-noon. The noon is present. And when they are mansub or majzoom, the noon is omitted. The second situation in which there is a secondary sign for mudari verbs is the fi'l naqis. When it is majzoom, the sign of it being majzoom is not sukoon, the primary sign of jazm, rather it is hadf akhirihi, yani the omission of the end of it, yani the weak letter at the end of that verb. Okay, and then after that we said, last point that we wanted to cover concerning this is mudari verb when it has i'rab taqdiri, al-i'rab al-taqdiri. We said that there's three cases in which it has taqdiri, i'rab. Yani when the i'rab is not visible, you don't see the sign of i'rab, and that is the sign of it being marfu'un in the fi'l naqis. In the fi'l naqis, for yani ana, for example, ana adhabu, fi'l naqis, ana amshi, anta tamshi, huwa yamshi, hiya tamshi, nahnu namshi. These four forms of the verb, they represent five pronouns, because anti and he have the same form. And these forms of the naqis, fi'l naqis, yani the verb that has a weak letter at the end, the sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma muqaddara. You don't see the dhamma, it's dhamma muqaddara. You don't say yamshiyu, amshiyu, tamshiyu. You just say amshi, tamshi, namshi, like this. The second situation in which this takdiri i'rab is the alamatu nasb in the fi'l naqis as well. The fi'l naqis, when it is mansub, the sign of it being mansub for the fi'l naqis that ends with alif and is preceded by the middle radical having fatha, like ansa, and tansa, and nansa. The fi'l naqis that ends with alif and the vowel on the second radical is fatha, the sign of it being mansub is fatha muqaddara, because you can't vowel the alif. Okay, so you will not see the vowel there, it will be fatha muqaddara. And the third case is the mudaaf verb, when it's majzoom, it has a taqdiri i'rab. You don't see the sukoon, but it's said to be sukoon muqaddara. And that's because of the iltiqa'i sakinain on the last two letters, which are a letter that is doubled. And both of them having sukoon has to be eliminated, so they put fatha on the last letter, and therefore the sign of jazm for the mudaaf verb is sukoon muqaddarun. Yani? Okay, so this is what we covered last week in the second part of the lesson, especially related to the mudaari verb, yani its secondary, its primary signs of i'rab, its secondary signs of i'rab, and its takdiri signs of i'rab. So the questions at the end of lesson 1, 7 questions are related to the discussion about the verbs, yani when verbs are mabniyun and when they are mu'rab. And we said that verbs, yani past tense verbs and command form verbs, imperative form, are mabniyun. So any past tense verb, we're going to say it's mabniyun. Any fi'l amr, we're going to say it's mabniyun. Now when it comes to the mudari verb, mudari verbs are generally mu'rab. We said, unless it has connected to it the noon and niswa, yani the second or third person feminine plural forms of a verb that have noon at the end. The noon and niswa represents feminine plurality. Unless the noon and niswa is connected to it, or the noon and tawkid, which I think we won't see in this exercise. Now, so keep it in mind. Past tense verbs are mabniyun, command form verbs are mabniyun, and mudari verbs are all mu'rab, unless noon and niswa is connected to them. The first question being, ayin al-mu'rab, ayin al-mu'raba min al-mabni fima ya'ti. Yani, identify the verb that's mu'rab from the verb that is mabniyun in what follows. Okay, so the first verb they gave us is dakhala. It's a past tense verb, so it's automatically mabniyun. Ijlis is an imperative form, command verb, therefore it's automatically mabniyun. Yadhabu is a mudari verb, doesn't have noon and niswa connected to it, therefore it's mu'rab. Tafhamna is a mudari verb, but it has noon and niswa connected to it, therefore it is mabniyun. Yakhrujuna is a mudari verb. It doesn't have noon and niswa connected to it, so it is mu'rab. Tashrabina is a mudari verb. Doesn't have noon and niswa. That's not noon and niswa. That's the noon that shows that the verb is yani marfu'un for the af'al al-khamsa. So it is mu'rab. Yaktubna is a mudari verb, but it has connected to it noon and niswa, so it's mabniyun. Mabniyun. Tayyib, the second question. ما علامة الإعراب الأصلية في المضاري? What are the primary signs of إعراب in the مضاري verb? We said the primary signs of إعراب in the مضاري verb, يعني the sign of it being مرفون is ضمة, the sign of it being منسوب is فتحة, the sign of it being مجزوم is سكون. Those are the primary signs, unless there is a secondary sign, as we said, يعني the secondary signs are in two cases in the مضاري verb, and تقديري إعراب is in three cases. Okay, so those are the primary signs. Question number three, ما علامات العراب الفرعية في الأفعال الخمسة? So what are the secondary signs for the فعل مضاري for the أفعال الخمسة? And again, the أفعال الخمسة, we said, are the second and third person masculine plurals, and the second and third person duals and the second person feminine singular. We said these are the af'al al-khamsa. These are mudari verbs that have an alif if it's dual, it has a waw if it's plural, and it has a ya if it's second person feminine singular. That long vowel, alif, waw, or ya, is followed by an extra noon. So these af'al al-khamsa, that extra noon, if it is present, that's the sign that it's marfu'un, and if it is omitted, deleted, removed, that's the sign that it's mansoob or majzoom. Questions number 4, 5, and 6 are all related to the naqis verb. They're all related to the naqis verb. Okay? So, first question, or question number 4, ما علامة الجزم الفرعية في الفعل الناقص? What is the sign of the naqis verb being majzoom? We said that's a secondary sign. And the sign of it being majzoom is the omission of the final root letter, or the harf illa. Any of the weak letter at the end of the fi'l naqis, the removal of it is the sign that it's majzoom, as opposed to sukoon, which is the primary sign of jazm in the mudari verb. Question number 5, ما علامة الرف في الفعل الناقص? So what is the sign of marfu'un, of being marfu'un for the fi'l naqis? We said that the fi'l naqis, in the case of ana, nahnu, huwa, and hiya, and anta, the sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma muqaddara. Yani dhamma muqaddara on the last letter of the, on the weak letter of the naqis verb. Dhamma muqaddara. We don't see the dhamma there. Yani yamshi, tamshi, amshi, namshi. We don't see dhamma. Question number 6. Ma alamatu nasb fil fi'l al naqis. What is the sign of nasb, of it being mansub in the fi'l naqis? Al maftu al ayn. Al maftu al ayn means that the ayn, the middle root letter, the second root letter has fatha, and sometimes it may be described as the fi'l naqis that its last letter is alif. So it's alif preceded by fatha. So this fi'l naqis, like nasiya yansa, yani the ayn, the seen of it has fatha and it ends with alif. This fi'l naqis that ends with alif and it's that's preceded by fatha, the sign of it being mansub, because it ends with alif, you can't see. Alif doesn't take a vowel, so you can't see the sign. So it's fatha. Sign of being mansub is fatha muqaddara. Fatha muqaddara on the last letter of the verb. The last question, ma alamatu jazm, sign of the verb being majzum in the fi'l mudaaf. We said that the fi'l mudaaf, the sign of it being majzum, because when it became majzum, the second radical and the last radical both became sakin, and in order to remove yani the iltiqa sakinain, they put fatha on the last letter, so you can't see the sukoon. So we said that the sign of being majzum is sukoon muqaddarun. Sukoon muqaddarun, that you don't actually see, rather you see a fatha there. So this is what we wanted to complete from lesson number 1. That's what remained, the completion of those exercises, the last questions at the end of the second part of the lesson. And with that being done, inshallah, we want to enter into the next lesson, lesson number 2. Okay, today, inshallah, we're going to be taking a very wonderful lesson. There are 9 points of grammar and 20 exercises. Okay, so some of the lessons in this level 3 course are going to only have just 2 or 3 points of grammar, and a few of them are going to have a number of points, like this lesson number 2, it has a number of points, but not every lesson is going to have this many points, and some of these points are a little involved, and many of them are quite simple. So don't be overwhelmed by the number of grammatical points in a lesson, but rather just take it point by point, and if there's anything that's not clear, inshallah, for homework when you review it, just kind of identify those things that you need some help with, and be prepared in the live session each week to go to see, to have a chance to review those points that might not be clear when you read it on your own. Okay, so what we're going to do right now, we're going to go through the English key, starting on page 14. and it ends at the top of page 18. So we're going to go through the English key. We're going to read each point, one point at a time. And those points that are involved, yani, that have some details that yani might need more clarification, that maybe you weren't able to follow in your own reading, if you're reading this for the first time, then we'll take our time and try to go through those points and make them clear. All right, so we're going to go through the English key today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, and the Arabic text starting on page 20 and ending on page 22. And we'll probably hopefully take the first exercise, which is a comprehension exercise. So when we finish reading the dialogue, we want to try to do the comprehension exercise immediately while the information is fresh in our minds. So for homework, you should have already read the English key. You should have already read the dialogue, written it out. If you have the ability to do so, writing is extremely important. And you should have translated it. All right, so let's start with the English key for lesson number 2 on page 14. So it says, lesson 2, in this lesson we learn the following. In this lesson, we learn the following. Let's take one point at a time, and let's make sure that we understand it before we go to the next point. Point number one. In this lesson, we learn the following. Point number one. Wow. Wow can be a letter, as in words such as lau, lam, fata, wow. The wow is just a letter, a part of the word. Or as in the word waladun. Wow is one of the letters that compose the word. So it's just a letter. It doesn't have any meaning. The word together with all of its letters has meaning, but individually each letter doesn't have any meaning. So in this sense, wow can be just a letter. That's a part of a word. And additionally, it can be a word itself. Wow itself can be a word. As in the question, Aina Bilalun wa Hamidun. So in this sentence, Aina Bilalun wa Hamidun, wow here is a word. It's not just a letter that makes up a word, it is a word by itself. So the word wow in this sentence has many meanings. It has many meanings. It's used in different ways. We mentioned in this lesson three of them. Any three of the meanings or the ways that the word wow can be used. They are A. It can be used to mean A and D. Yani this and that. You and me. Yani harf al-atfi. It can be used to mean A and D. As in uridu kitaban wa qalaman. I want a book and a pen. So the word A and D, end, yani, is represented in Arabic by the letter waw with fatha. This is one of the meanings of waw with fatha. Means this and that. I want a book and a pen. Another example, kharaja az-zubayrun, az-zubayru, yani in my book it does have tanween. I shouldn't be reading from this book like that. Right? Kharaja az-zubayru wa hamidun. Az-zubayr and Hamid went out. So in this sentence, the wow here is a word. It means A and D. Az-Zubayr and Hamid went out. So the word wow, the particle wow, in this sense is a conjunction. It's a conjunction joining two things together. And it's known in Arabic as harfu al-atfi. Wow al-atf or harf al-atfi, because it's a particle, right? And the Arabic language is divided into three types of speech. So there's the ism, there's the fi'l, and there's the particle. So this is one of the three types of speech in Arabic, particles. This particular particle, harf al-atfi, yani, is more specifically known as wow al-atf, because the huruf of atf are many. Okay, it's not just wow, there's also fa and so on. So, this particular harf of atf is known as waw al-atfi. So, this is one of the meanings of the word wa. It means A and D. It's known as waw al-atf or one of the حروف العطف. B, the second meaning of wa, or the second way it is used, is to mean the word by, as used in an oath. When a person says, for example, wallahi ma ra'itu, by Allah, I did not see him. Yani by Allah, meaning I swear by Allah that I did not see him. So the word waw in this sense is a preposition, harfu jar. Now the waw in the previous sense is harf atf, it's a conjunction. But here it is a preposition, harf al-jar. It is also known as, this one is also known as waw al-qasam, because it is the waw that's used to swear, to make an oath. Wallahi ma ra'itu, by Allah I did not see him. This is the second usage of the word waw. It can be used as a conjunction, waw al-atf, can be used as an oath, waw al-qasam, which is, it is a preposition, but it's known as waw al-qasam because it's used to make an oath, to swear. And the third usage or meaning of waw is C, yani the third type of waw is called waw al-hal, yani the waw that's used to indicate the condition or circumstances of something, the state of something. Waw al-hal. Like when you say to somebody, kaifa haluka, what is your state, what is your condition? Huh? Waw al-hal tells us about the condition or the state of affairs. So this waw, the third type, is what we want to study in this lesson. Waw al-hal. It is prefixed to a subordinate nominal sentence. Prefixed, meaning it's going to come before a sentence. What kind of sentence? A subordinate nominal sentence. What do we mean by subordinate nominal sentence? Meaning there's a primary sentence that's going to come before it, and then there's a subordinate sentence that comes after waw al-hal, and that subordinate sentence, it says here, this sentence, the subordinate sentence, describes the circumstance in which the action of the main sentence took place. Okay, before we look at the example, let's make sure we understand this. This third type of waw is called waw al-hal. It's prefixed to a subordinate nominal sentence, al-jumla al-ismiya, and this subordinate nominal sentence describes the circumstance in which the action of the main sentence took place. You have two sentences, the main sentence followed by a subordinate sentence. The subordinate sentence is called subordinate sentence because it's subject to, yani it's connected to, it's related to the primary sentence. What is its job or its task or its function? It is to describe to us the circumstance in which the action of the main sentence took place. So the main sentence has an action, and the subordinate sentence that follows waw al-hal is going to tell us something about the circumstance in which that action of the main sentence occurred. Now they give us an example. Keeping in mind, there's a main sentence which has an action, and then there's a subordinate sentence after waw al-hal that tells us something about the circumstance of the action of the main sentence. Example: دخلتُ المسجد والإمامُ يركعُ. I entered the masjid while the imam was performing ruku. Okay, the main sentence is what? دخلتُ المسجد. The subordinate sentence is the sentence that follows waw al-hal. Wa al-imamu yarka'u. So the main sentence is دخلتُ المسجد. I entered the masjid. And the subordinate sentence is al-imamu yarka'u. The subordinate sentence is prefixed with waw al-hal. Hal. وَالْإِمَامُ يَرْكَعُ. The subordinate sentence, what does it do? It describes the circumstance in which the action of the main sentence took place. What is the action of the main sentence? دَخَلْتُ, entering. What was the circumstance in which that action of entering took place? Yani the circumstance was, when I entered the masjid, the imam was performing ruku. When I entered the masjid, at the time of me entering, what was the circumstance? The imam was performing ruku'. Let's look at another example, and perhaps it will become clearer. Mata abi wa ana saghirun. My father died when I was small, or while I was small. Mata abi is the main sentence, and ana sagirun is the subordinate sentence that has waw al-haw prefixed to it. Mata abi. What's the action of the main sentence? My father dying. What was the circumstance in which the action of the main sentence, my father dying, took place? What was the circumstance? My father died while I was saghir, young. Okay, so you have an action in the main sentence, and then you have a subordinate sentence that describes the circumstance of the action of the main sentence. The action of the main sentence, my father died. What was the circumstance that tells us, that describes for us the circumstance of the action of the main sentence? I was young. That's the circumstance. The next example. دخل المدرس الفصل وهو يحمل كتبا كثيرة. The teacher entered the class while he was carrying a lot of books. Main sentence, دخل المدرس الفصل. The teacher entered the classroom. Subordinate sentence, هو يحمل كتبا كثيرا. Wow, الحال is prefixed to the subordinate sentence. وهو يحمل كتبا كثيرا. While he was carrying a lot of books. So the action of the main sentence is دخل, entering. What was the circumstance in which the action of the main sentence took place? Yani, the circumstance was when he entered, he was carrying. What was his state? What was his condition? What was the circumstance? He was carrying a lot of books. So the subordinate sentence, again, what? It describes for us the condition, the state, or the circumstances in which the action of entering here took place. He entered while carrying a lot of books. Next example. جاءني الولد وهو يبكي. The boy came to me crying. While he was crying. The boy came to me while he was crying. The main sentence, جاءني الولد. The boy came to me. The subordinate sentence, هو يبكي. He was crying. So the action of the main sentence is جاء, coming. What was the circumstance or the state of the boy when he was coming? He was crying. Last example. لا تأكل وأنت شبعان. Do not eat when you are full. Yani when you have eaten your fill. The main sentence, لا تأكل, don't eat. What is the subordinate sentence? أنت شبعان. The subordinate sentence is prefixed with واو الحال to let you know that the subordinate sentence is going to describe to you the state or the condition or the circumstance in which the action of the main sentence took place. What is the action of the main sentence? Eating. What is the state or condition or circumstance about this eating? Yani, don't eat while you are full. You have already eaten your fill. I hope these examples are sufficient to clarify to us Yani, the waw al-hal, yani it's a waw that is prefixed to a subordinate sentence. It's subordinate to the main sentence. And that subordinate sentence is going to describe to us something about the state or the condition or the circumstances in which the action of the main sentence occurs. Note that if the khabar of this nominal sentence, the khabar of the nominal sentence means the subordinate nominal sentence. If the khabar of the subordinate nominal sentence, the second sentence that's prefixed by waw al-haw, if the khabar of this sentence is a verb, it should be mudari. It should be a mudari verb. Okay, let's try to make clear what they're saying here. Note that if the khabar of this subordinate nominal sentence, if its khabar is a verb, it should be mudari. So the first thing we want to identify is that the nominal sentence here is the subordinate sentence. It's the second sentence. The sentence that describes for us the circumstance of the action of the main sentence. The second thing we want to say is that here they're talking about a nominal sentence. which means it's a jumla ismiya, which means it has a mubtada and a khabar. So if the khabar of that nominal sentence is a verb, because the khabar can be a noun, a single word, and it can also be a sentence, a jumla ismiya or a jumla fi'liya, and it can also be a shibah jumla, harf, yani it could be a jawl majrur or a dharf. So the khabar can be a single word, or it can be a sentence, or it can be a prepositional phrase. Any one of these things, right? So if the khabar is a verb, then that verb should be a mudari verb. Okay, if we go back and look at the sentences that they gave us, we can see this. Let's look at the first sentence on the bottom of page 14. It says, دَخَلْتُ الْمَسْجِدْ وَالْإِمَامْ يَرْكَعُ. So the subordinate sentence is a jumla ismiya. It's a nominal sentence. Al-imam is a noun, so it's a nominal sentence. But the khabar for al-imam, al-imam is the mubtada and yarqa is the khabar. If the khabar of that nominal sentence is a verb, then it should be a mudari verb. So you see we have here, yarqa'u. From raka'a, yarqa'u. So here the khabar of the nominal sentence is a verb. It doesn't always have to be a verb. But if it is a verb, it should be a mudari verb. Let's look at the next sentence. Mata abi wa ana saghirun. The khabar of this subordinate nominal sentence, the nominal sentence is ana saghirun. Ana is a mubtada. Therefore we say this is a nominal sentence. It begins with a noun. But the khabar is not a verb. It's saghirun. So that rule is not applicable here. The next sentence. The dakhala al-mudarrisu al-fasl wa huwa yahamilu kutuban kathira. Kathiratan. Here, the subordinate nominal sentence is a jumla ismiya. Huwa yahmilu. It's khabar. Huwa is the mubtada. The khabar is yahmilu. If the khabar of the subordinate nominal sentence is a verb, it should be a mudari verb. So we see it. Hamala yahmilu mudari verb. When the khabar is a verb, it has to be a mudari verb. Third sentence. Ja'ani al-walad wa huwa yabki. The subordinate nominal sentence here is huwa yabki. Huwa is the mubtada, yabki is the khabar. If the khabar of the subordinate nominal sentence is a verb, it should be a mudari verb. Baka, yabki. And the last one, the subordinate nominal sentence, la ta'akul wa anta shaba'an. The subordinate nominal sentence, yani, the mubtada is anta and the khabar is sha'ban. It's not a verb, so it's not applicable here. So, what's the rule here? Is that if the subordinate nominal sentence, if its khabar is a verb, it should be a mudari verb. Now, there's another situation that we're not going to deal with here, but the subordinate sentence may not be a nominal sentence. It could be a verbal sentence. It could be a jumla fi'liya. In that case, its verb should be a past tense verb, a madi verb. But that's if the subordinate sentence is a jumla fi'liya instead of a jumla ismiya. But what we are studying here in this lesson is when the subordinate sentence that's prefixed with waw al haw is a jumla ismiya. So this is a different matter altogether if the subordinate sentence is a jumla fi'liya. But just know that it's possible it could be a jumla fi'liya as well. But what we're going to be studying here is only when the subordinate sentence is a nominal sentence, a jumla ismiya. And if its khabar is a verb, it should be a mudari verb. I hope that it's clear. Alright, so this first point is a critical, essential point of this lesson. It's that waw can be a letter, and it can also be a word. If it's a word, it has many different meanings. Amongst its meanings is that it could be yani waw al-atf, a conjunction, meaning A and D, or it could be waw al-qasam, yani a swearing or an oath, meaning B-Y, by, I swear by Allah, for example, or it could be waw al-hal, and that's what we want to look at here. And we're saying that this type of waw, the waw al-haw, is prefixed to a subordinate nominal sentence, a jumla ismiya. And if the khabar of that jumla ismiya is a verb, it should be a mudari verb. What is the purpose of this subordinate sentence? It is to describe to us the circumstances in which the action of the main sentence took place. I entered the masjid. While I was entering, what was the circumstance? The imam was performing ruku. The teacher entered the classroom. What was the circumstances? He was carrying many books. And so on like this. Okay, that's the first point. Very important point. I hope that it's clear, Be'ezin Le'Ayitad, as we go through the exercises. Hopefully, it will bring more clarity to it. The second point is very, very brief. Something we've studied before. It says, point number two, we're on page 15. We have seen in book two, lesson one, that La'alla from Akhawatu Inna signifies two meanings, hope and fear. For example, La'allahu bikhayrin. I hope he is well. The meaning of hope is called At-Taraji. At-Taraji, with Shadda on the Jeem, and the Kasra being elongated. At-Taraji. So one of the meanings of La'alla is hope. In Arabic, it's called At-Taraji. The meaning here, La'allahu bikhayr, I hope he is, it is as though you are saying, Arju, yani taraji, Arju, ayakuna bikhayr. I hope that he is well, that he is good, that he is fine. The second meaning of La'alla that we studied, when we studied La'alla in book 2, lesson 1, La'allahu, for example, La'allahu maridun, I am afraid, I fear that he is sick. The meaning of fear in Arabic is called al-ishfaq, al-ishfaq. And the meaning would be here, I fear that he is sick. Yani, akhsha an yakuna maridan. I fear that he is sick. So, la'alla, depending on the context of the sentence, it could have the meaning of hope, which in Arabic is called taraji, or it could have the meaning of ishfaq, which means to be afraid or to fear something. Alright, so from the context you know what is intended. If somebody said to you, La'allaka najih, yani, I hope that you are successful. We wouldn't think that he means, I fear that you have been successful, that you have passed. You would think that the meaning is, I hope. If a person said, La'allaka rasib, you wouldn't think that they mean, I hope you have failed the test. But you would think they mean, I fear that you have failed the test. So from the context, you know, is the meaning hope or fear, taraji or ishfaq. Another example of ishfaq is the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La'alli la ahujj ba'da aami hadha. I'm afraid, I fear, I will not perform hajj after this year of mine. You don't think that he means, I hope that I won't perform hajj again. No, I fear. So from the context, you know, if the meaning is taraji, hope, or al-ishfaq, fear. Point number three, also, yani, not a lengthy point, but important point. Okay, point number three, the sentence or the statement, إِلَيْكُمْ أَمْثِلَةً with فَتَّتَيْن أُخْرَى. إِلَيْكُمْ أَمْثِلَةً أُخْرَى. Take some more examples. Take some more examples, or take other examples. Here, إِلَيْكُمْ is a ismu al-fi'li. Ismu al-fi'li. Yani this word, ilaykum, is a ism fi'l. Verb noun. Yani a noun that has the meaning of a verb. Yani it has the meaning of the verb, the time period of the verb, yani madi mudari, and also it has the amal of the verb. Yani it does what that verb does. Yani in other words, a verb, yani makes an object mansub, and so the ism fi'l also makes the noun that is its object mansub. So it has the meaning of the verb, and it has the time period of the verb, past tense, present tense, or otherwise, and it also has the work, the action of the, yani the effect of the verb that it is taking the place of. Okay? So here, ilaykum is ism fi'l, verb noun. It is made up of the preposition ila and the pronoun kum. Now, you remember ila and ila and words like this, when they are connected to pronouns, the alif maksura in ila becomes ya. So it becomes ilayka or ilaykum here. And the same thing with ila, yani the alif maksura becomes ya, you say alaykum, assalamu alaykum. It's originally ala kum becomes alaykum. Same thing here, yani ila plus kum becomes ilaykum. In this construction, the meaning of ilaykum, even though it's the preposition ila and the pronoun kum, in this construction, it means take. Take. Yani khudu from أخذ يأخذ خذوا, it means take. And أمثلةً, in this sentence إليكم, أمثلةً is منسوب because it is its مفعول به. Since إليكم is taking the meaning and the effect and the time period of the verb خذوا, اسم فعل, and it's an اسم فعل, it has the meaning of the verb خذوا, so it also has an object that becomes مفعول به. Alright? The radio and TV announcers say, for example, إليكم نشرتا, with فتح because it's مفعول به منسوب, it's the object of the اسم فعل إليكم. إليكم نشرتا الأخبار, which literally means take the news bulletin. نشرت الأخبار. The pronoun changes according to the person addressed. And so instead of إليكم, you could say, if you were speaking to one person, إليك or إليك. So they gave us an example, إليك هذا الكتاب يا إبراهيم, means خذ هذا الكتاب, take this book, O إبراهيم. So إليك, because you're talking to what? And you're talking directly to an individual male. So you have second person, masculine, singular, ك, and you enter. إليك هذا الكتاب. If you were talking to an individual female, you say, إليك الملائقة يا أختي, take the spoons, O my sister. Why is it إليك? Because you're speaking to an individual female, يا أختي. إليكن هذه الدفاتر يا أخوات, take these notebooks, O sisters. Again, why is it إليكن? Because you're speaking to a group of women, يا أخواتي. So it's second person, feminine, plural. إليكن, يعني أنتن. So the point here is that the pronoun in إليكم, it could be إليك, إليكي, يعني depending on who is being addressed. يعني could be masculine, feminine, singular, or plural. Okay, so that's the end of this particular point. يعني إليكم is a اسم فعل. It's a verb noun. The meaning of it is خذوا, and it's taking the place of the verb that means take. Alright, so it has the meaning of take, and it has the effect of it. It has the object, a مفعول به, that becomes منسوب. So in reference to this, we could say, يعني إليكم is a اسم فعل أمر, because it has the meaning of خذوا. And الأمثلةً is the مفعول به منسوب, and the sign of being منسوب is فتحة. And أخرى is a نعت, يعني it's a نعت for أمثلة. Okay, let's go to the next point, number 4, following page 16. Point number 4 is also a very brief point. The word أشياء means, it's the plural of شيء, means things. This word أشياء is a diptote. يعني it's ممنوع من الصرف, because it is originally أشياء is originally أشياء, يعني with a همزة after the ياء, أشياء on the pattern of أفعيلا, يعني like أغنياء, plural of غني, أنبياء, the plural of نبي, and أصدقاء, the plural of صديق. All of these words are on the pattern of أفعيلاء. So originally this word is أشياء. But in order to make the word easier to pronounce, the Hamza has been removed. The Hamza from أشياء, Hamza is removed, so it became أشياء. Became أشياء. But because originally it's on the pattern of أفعيلا, which is a broken plural pattern that's ممنوع من الصرف. We learned that in book 1, lesson 13. Because it's originally on the pattern of أفعيلا, that means that pattern requires it to be ممنوع من الصرف, so it's a diptote. That's why it doesn't take تنوين. Next point, number 5. Point number 5. The ماضي is also used to express a wish or دعاء. يعني asking, supplicating for something. For example, رحمه الله. يعني when you pray for somebody by saying, May Allah have mercy upon him. Rahimahullah. Even though rahima is a past tense verb, what is intended here is present tense meaning. Because you are not saying Allah had mercy upon him, you're saying may Allah have mercy upon him. So even though it's a past tense verb, it's used to express, yani, dua, to express something of the future. Its meaning is future, even though the word itself, the love, is past tense. Yani, the form of it is past tense, but the meaning is future tense. Future tense. So when a past tense verb is used to express the future tense meaning, yani dua, like may Allah have mercy upon him, rahimahullah, or ghafar Allah lahu, Allah, may Allah forgive him. Yani literally ghafar Allah lahu means Allah has forgiven him. But when you say this as a dua, you mean may Allah forgive him in the future. And same thing with shafahullah. Literally, it means Allah has healed him. But if somebody's sick and you say shafahullah, it doesn't mean Allah has healed him. You mean to say, may Allah heal him. May Allah grant him health. So when a past tense verb is used with the meaning, having the meaning of dua, yani future meaning, then it is negated by the particle la. The madhi in this sense, past tense verb used for the meaning of future as a supplication, dua, it is negated instead of by ma, because the past tense verb is negated by ma, and the present tense verb is negated by la, and the future is negated by len, right? But here, because even though it's a past tense verb, because its meaning is present, is future tense, so it's negated by la. So, for example, you say, La araka Allahu makruhan. Yani, may Allah not show you anything makruh, yani unpleasant, disliked. Or, La faddallahu faka. Fa here means fem. La faddallahu faka. May Allah not smash your fem, your mouth. Yani, on the footnote it says, may Allah preserve your speech organ. May Allah not smash your mouth means may Allah preserve your speech organ. It is said in appreciation of a beautiful statement. Yani when somebody says something good, it signifies, oh, how beautiful you have said it. Yani may Allah preserve your mouth so it can continue to speak such beautiful speech. Alright, so the past tense verb, when it's used for the supplication, instead of in a past tense meaning, it's negated by la instead of ma. The next point, point number 6, is a little detailed. 7 and 8 are very brief, and 9 is also detailed. So, 7 and 9 are detailed. 6 and 9 are detailed, 7 and 8 are brief. So let's do 6, and then we're going to do them in order. I wish I could just do 7 and 8 and get them out of the way and then take my time and do 7 and 9, but okay, no problem. 6 is going to be a little detailed, 7 and 8 are brief, and then 9 is also detailed. 6. Point number 6, English key, page 16. It says, Hal min su'alin. Yani, do you have any question? The full construction of this sentence is like this. Hal min su'alin indaka. Do you have any question? Yani, the meaning of hal min su'alin is hal min su'alin indaka. But for short, they say, hal min su'alin. Here, su'alin is mubtada, and indaka is khabar. Su'alin is the mubtada, and indaka is khabar. And min in this construction is called min az-za'idatu. Min az-za'idatu, yani the extra min. Yani it's a preposition that's extra in the sentence. It's not essential to the meaning of the sentence. It's an extra preposition that's used for emphasis. It is used to emphasize the meaning of the sentence. Okay, it has two conditions. Before we go to the two conditions, let's just say, what do we mean by emphasis? Yani tawqid. We mean that whatever the sentence is saying, it's emphasizing that meaning. So if somebody said, hal min su'alin, the min here, yani if somebody just said, hal indaka su'al, do you have a question? But if they said, hal min su'alin, do you have any question at all? Okay, so it's emphasizing the meaning of the question. Do you have any question? Do you have any question whatsoever? All right? So it's making it more general and all-inclusive to include everything, any kind of question at all. Okay, so this is what we mean by it is used to emphasize the meaning of the sentence. And we'll see other examples and we'll see how it emphasizes the meaning of the sentence. There are two conditions for using the extra min, this extra preposition min. There are two conditions for using it. They are, number one, the sentence should contain negation, prohibition, or interrogation. And in the first condition, to use the extra min, that sentence must have negation, or it must have a prohibition of something, or it must have a question, interrogation. And if it is the third one, the interrogation should only be with the particle hell. Okay? So, the first condition to use the extra min is that the sentence has to either contain negation or prohibition or interrogation with the particle hell. Not a question with hamzatul istifham or some other word, but it has to be interrogation with the particle hell. That's the first condition. It has to have negation, prohibition, or interrogation with the particle hell. The second condition is the noun following the extra min should be indefinite. Yani, the noun that comes after min should be nakira, should be indefinite, not ma'rifa. So two conditions. The sentence has to have negation, prohibition, or interrogation with the particle hell. Second condition is the noun following the extra min should be nakira, should be indefinite. All right, so let's look at examples of each of these. Let's look at an example of the extra min being used in a sentence that has negation, and then a sentence that has prohibition, and then a sentence that has interrogation with the particle hell. Negation. For example, you can say, مَا غَابَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. مَا غَابَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. No one was absent. Should be was absent. مَا غَابَ, past tense. مَا غَابَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. So the meaning here with min, yani the original sentence without min would be مَا غَابَ أَحَدٌ. أَحَدٌ would be the fa'il of غَابَ. No one was absent. مَا غَابَ أَحَدٌ. But when you say min, it emphasizes the meaning that nobody was absent. Absolutely no one was absent. مَا غَابَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. That's the emphasis. Another example of negation, مَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. I did not see anyone. Yani without min, you would say مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا. Yani أَحَدًا would be the مَفْعُولٌ بِي مَنْسُوب. But because of min, yani it made it مَجْرُور. But مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا means I didn't see anyone. But when you say مَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْ أَحَدٍ, it emphasizes the meaning I absolutely did not see anyone. These are two examples of negation. So the first condition to use the extra min, it has to be negation, prohibition, or interrogation with hell. So let's look at examples of prohibition. لَا يَخْرُجْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. No, none should go out. Yani, no one should go out. لَا يَخْرُجْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. The original sentence is لَا يَخْرُجْ أَحَدٌ. Yani, أَحَدٌ will be the fa'il of يَخْرُجْ. لا يخرج أحد. But the meaning would be no one should go out. لا يخرج. يعني this is لا الناهية. No one should go out. But when you say لا يخرج من أحد, absolutely no one should go out. Another example. لا تكتب من شيء. Don't write anything. Originally the sentence should be لا تكتب. لا تكتب شيئاً. يعني شيء أن should be the object of the verb. يعني مفعول به منصوب with فتح. But because of من, it made it مجرور, right? So the meaning, لا تكتب شيئاً. Don't write anything. Same meaning, but when you use من in Arabic, it is a way of emphasizing the meaning of the sentence. So the meaning here, لا تكتب من شيئاً, means do not write anything at all. When من is used, and it emphasizes that meaning. Okay, again, the first condition for using the extra min, there has to be negation, prohibition, or interrogation with hell. So we saw examples for negation and prohibition. The third possibility for the first condition is that there's interrogation with hell. So the question that we started with, hell min su'alin. Any question? Yani, The original question without min would be هل سؤال عندك? Do you have any question? But here with min, the meaning becomes هل من سؤال عندك? Yani, is there absolutely any question that you have at all? Ask any question that you want. Emphasizing the meaning of, do you have a question? Any question? The second example they gave of interrogation is هل من جديد? هل من جديد? Anything new? Yani, هل من جديد عندك? Do you have anything new? Any news? Anything happening? New? هل من جديد? So, هل جديد عندك is the original sentence. هل جديد? But yani, which means anything new. But when you use من, it emphasizes means do you have any news whatsoever? Yani, any new information to share with us? Final example to give us in the Quran, 50th Surah, 30th Ayat, the saying of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, بعد أوزي من الشيطان الرجيم. يوم نقول لجهنم. On the day when we say to the hellfire, هل امتلأت? Are you full? وتقول هل من مزيد? And then it will say, يعني the hellfire will speak back and it will say, have you any more? يعني do you have any more to put in here? هل من مزيد? So originally the sentence would be هل مزيد? But here, because of min, it made it majrur. Hal min mazidin means absolutely, is there any more that you want to put in here? Okay, let's turn to page 17, and there's a note here, which is telling us a little bit about the original sentences that we just saw, and how the sentence, yani the i'rab of the sentence changes slightly because of min. Yani it's a preposition, so it makes the noun following it become majrur. Note that the noun following the extra min is majrur. Because of this, yani, it became majrur because of this min, because of this preposition min. It loses its original ending, yani, as being the maf'ulun bi, or as being the fa'il, or other than that. It loses its original ending because of this min. For example, ma ra'aytu ahadan. In this sentence, ma ra'aytu ahadan, the word ahadan is mansub because it is maf'ulun bi. But after the introduction of the extra min, it loses its nasb ending and takes the jar ending, even though its function remains what it was before. Yani, in other words, when you say ma ra'aytu ahadan, in this sentence, ra'a is the fi'l, tu is the fa'il, and ahadan is the maf'ulun bi, mansub with fatha. So, even when you add the extra min, it causes ahadan to become ahadin, but the meaning is still the same. Ma ra'aytu ahadan, I didn't see anyone. Ma ra'aytu min ahadin, I didn't see anyone. Yani, absolutely anyone. So, the function in the sentence is still as maf'ulun bi, but because of min, it loses the nasb ending, the fatha, and it takes the jar ending, the kasra. In the same way, ma hadara ahadun. The word ahadun in this sentence is marfu'un. It's the fa'il, because it is the fa'ilun of the sentence. Ma hadara ahadun. Hadara is the fi'il and ahadun is the fa'il. But after the introduction of min, ahadun becomes majrur, though it remains the fa'il in the sentence. So ma hadara ahadun is the fa'il, marfu'un with dhamma. If you add the extra min, it became ma hadara min ahadin. So it became majrur because of min, but the function in the sentence, it's still the fa'il. Yani, the fa'il of the verb hadara. No one came. Okay, this is, yani, the sixth point. Yani, the use of the extra min in a sentence is used to give emphasis to the meaning of the sentence. It changes the ending of the word from being marfu'un with dhamma or mansub with fatha to being majrur because it's following a preposition. But the function in the sentence of that word following min remains the same. It just changes its vowel ending because of the preposition min. The meaning of this extra min is to give emphasis to whatever that sentence, whatever is being said in that sentence. I hope it's clear. Okay, so this is from the yani fine points of the Arabic language, where these small words here, don't drastically change the meaning of the sentence. It doesn't change the core meaning of the sentence, but in this case it gives emphasis. If a person doesn't know that, they won't realize that a person is trying to emphasize something. So it's important to know these fine points. The next point, number 7, is a brief point. It's the ظرف المكان, the adverb of place, لدى. لدى, لام فتى, دال فتى, ألف مكسورة. It ends with ألف مكسورة. لدى is a ظرف, يعني ظرف المكان, an adverb of place, and has the same meaning as عند that we learned in book 1. It's the same meaning of عند. For example, ماذا لديك? What do you have? يعني ماذا عندك? Same meaning, what do you have? Note that the alif in لدى changes to ya when its مضاف إليه is a pronoun. When its مضاف إليه is a pronoun. So remember, the ظرف, the noun following the ظرف is always مضاف إليه. So if the مضاف إليه is a clear noun, it remains لدى with alif مكسورة. But if the مضاف إليه is a pronoun, like هو or ها or كي or كا, then the alif maksura in lada becomes ya. So it became ladayka, or ladayki, or ladaykum, and so on. The alif maksura becomes ya in the same way that we saw ala becomes alaykum, and ila becomes ilaykum. Same thing, lada becomes ladaykum. So with a clear noun, it remains لَدَى, لَدَى الْبَابِ, يعني إِنْدَ الْبَابِ, يعني at the door. But لَدَيْكَ, يعني عِنْدَكَ, يعني with you. Alright, so it's a ظرف المكان. It has the meaning of عِنْدَ when it is followed by a clear noun. It remains as ألف مكسورة when it's followed by a ضمير pronoun. It changes the alif maksura to ya. Point number 8, also brief point, dakhaltu ala al-mudir. Yani this kind of statement, dakhaltu ala al-mudir, means I went to the mudir, the principal, in his office. Dakhaltu, by describing him as the mudir, it means that I entered upon him in his office, in the school. If a person said, yani dakhaltu ala al-tabib, you mean, yani, in the hospital. دخلت على الإمام. Yani, generally meaning, in the masjid. دخلت على الطباخ. Where? In the matbakh, in the kitchen. I entered upon the cook. Where? Where is the cook normally going to be? In the kitchen. Alright, so, this kind of expression, when you're identifying a person by their title or their description, it generally identifies that entering upon them or going to them in the place that's associated with that position or that description. I went to the headmaster in his office, yani at the school. Point number 9, and this is the last point that we're going to deal with. Actually, we're running out of time, so it looks like we may not be able to yani read the Arabic text and the first exercise. No problem, we're not in a hurry. We want to make sure that we cover this well. And this last point is a very, very important point, and it's a little detailed. So we need to remember two things here. We need to remember the rules related to ism manqus that we just had in lesson 1. Yani that it has takdiri i'rab. The ism manqus has takdiri i'rab when it's marfoon and majroor. And it has a regular i'rab when it's mansoob. And we also have to remember, in reference to ism manqus, that it loses that ya at the end of it. Yani, al-qadi, al-muhami, al-wadi. It loses that ya if it doesn't have alif lam, or if it's not mudhaf or mansub. So we have to remember those rules. And the other thing that we have to remember in reference to this point here is that, as we learned in book 1, yani, some broken plurals are mamnoom and asarf. And from amongst them is the broken plurals on the pattern of mafa'il. Broken plurals on the pattern of mafa'il is a broken plural pattern that is mamnoom and asarf. So we also need to keep that in mind. And from the rules of mamnoom and asarf that we learned in book 1 in lesson 22 and 23 is that words that are mamnoom and asarf don't take tanween. And where is it mamnu' min as-sarf? When they are majrur, they don't take kasra. Unless they have alif lam or they are mudaf. Any words that are mamnu' min as-sarf? We learned in book one that they don't take kasra when they are majrur. Instead, they take fatha. But we also learned later on that the exception to this is if the word that's mamnu' min as-sarf has alif lam or it's mudaf, then it's no longer mamnu' min as-sarf. In that case, if it's majrur, it takes kasra. So these rules, I hope that we know these rules, because as we go through this lesson here, we're going to have to apply those rules yani from two sides, from ism, the rules of ism manqus and the rules of yani the broken plural pattern mafail mamnu' min as-sarf. Okay, so let's read this. We have a little bit of time left, so I'm going to take my time and just read this. We'll read the Arabic text for this lesson and some of the exercises in the next session, bi'izni lillahi ta'ala. Let's just take this last point and take our time and understand it well. Point number 9, page 17. The plural of ma'ana. Yani the word ma'ana in Arabic means meaning. Yani you say ma ma'ana hadha. What is the meaning of this? So the plural of ma'ana is ma'anin. Ma'anin. Meanings. And with the definite article becomes al-ma'ani. Al-ma'ani. Here are some more nouns which form their plural on this pattern. Yani, what pattern is this? It's the pattern of mafa'il. Al-ma'ani, mafa'il. Yani, originally, on the pattern of mafa'il, it would be al-ma'aniyu. Al-ma'aniyu. But the Dhamma is not seen here. Because, why? Because the ism manqus, yani it doesn't take dhamma. If it has alif lam, it just has sukoon. If it doesn't have alif lam and it's not mansub and it's not mudaf, it loses the ya and it takes kasratain. Remember those rules from the previous lesson, lesson number 1. Okay, so let's go back again. The plural of ma'ana is ma'anin. If it has the definite article, the ya comes back. Al-ma'ani. Here are more nouns, some more nouns which form their plural on this pattern, the pattern of mafa'il, yani which is a broken plural pattern that's mamnu' min as-sarf. So the word jariyatun, a young girl, jariyatun, its plural is jawarin. Jawarin. If it has alif lam, the ya comes back, it becomes al-jawari. Yani on the pattern of al-mafa'il, al-jawari. But jawarin, yani, is because it doesn't have alif lam, so it loses its ya at the end and takes kasratain. Even though it's marfu'un, but it takes kasratain. Okay, this is from the rules of what? Ism manqus that we had in the previous lesson. The ism manqus is a word that originally has a ya at the end. That ya is going to be omitted if it doesn't have alif lam, as here in jawarin, doesn't have alif lam. If the alif lam comes back, it becomes al-jawari. So if it doesn't have alif lam, it's not mansub and it's not mudaf. The first part of an idafa construction, it loses its ya, and instead of that ya in its place, iwadan, in the place of the ya, you have kasratain, jawarin. So it might look like it's majrur, but it's really marfu'un. Al-Jawari. Another word, Laylatun. Its plural is on the pattern of mafail, Layalin. Okay, it's Manqus, so it loses its Ya if it doesn't have Alif Lam. But if it has Alif Lam, then you see it, Al-Layali. Al-Layali, mafail. Another word, Nadin. Without Alif Lam, yani, its plural is nawadin, nawadin. But if it has alif lam, then you see the full form, an nawadi, yani mafa'il, an nawadi. Okay, so there are two things that I mentioned that we're working with here. We're working with the rules of ism manqus, and we're working with the rules of, yani, the pattern mafa'il mamnu' min as-sarf, diptotes. Alright, so these are examples of words, their plural is on the pattern of mafail. If it has alif lam, you can see the pattern clearly. Al-jawari, al-layali, an-nawadi, yani ma-fa'il, ma-fa'il. These nouns, yani their plurals, are declined like the mankus, yani the ism mankus that we had in lesson one. These words, the plurals of such words, are declined like the mankus in lesson one. That means it's treated as though it's a ism mankus, mufrad, even though it's a plural. Yani al-layali, al-jawari, al-nawadi, these are plurals. But a ism mankus, if it's a plural on this pattern, mafail, it's treated like the ism mankus when it's singular. That means if it doesn't have alif lam and it's not mansub or mudhaf, it loses its ya and takes tanween instead. That's how you get jawarin and nadin and layalin. Nawadin and layalin. Yani that's when it doesn't have alif lam, it loses its ya and takes tanween kasra instead. So these nouns are declined like the mankus that we had in lesson one. Now they're going to give us three examples when this type of word, they're going to use ma'anin, but it could be any one of these words. We could have used layalin, or could have used nawadin, or we could have used jawarin. The examples they gave us is with ma'anin, yani ma'anin, the plural of ma'ana, and they're going to show us this word when it's marfu'un, when it's mansub, and when it's majroor, without the alif lam. And then they're going to show us the same thing when it's marfu'un, mansub, and majroor, with alif lam. Alright, so three examples without alif lam, three examples with alif lam, keeping in mind that this word is going to be treated, yani the ism mankus, when its plural is on the pattern of mafail, it's going to be treated like the ism mankus mufrad. Okay, so the rules for the ism mankus that we learned in lesson one are going to be applicable here, along with the rules of yani broken plural pattern that's mamnu'a min as-sarf, yani mafail. First example, marfu'un. Lil wawi ma'anin kathiratun. Please pay careful attention. Lil wawi ma'anin kathiratun. Yani for the word waw, the waw, are for it are ma'anin meanings kathiratun. Many meanings. Waw has many meanings. Waw has many meanings. Here, look at this sentence carefully and know that lil wawi is a shibba jumla, ja wal majroor. The shibba jumla is never the mubtada. So rather, lil wawi is the khabar muqaddam, and ma'anin is the mubtada muakhir, the delayed mubtada, and kathiratun is a na'at describing it. So in this sentence, ma'anin is the mubtada, and therefore it's marfu'un. And the sign of it being marfu'un is, remember the ism manqus, right? When it has the kasratain, it loses its ya and has kasratain. We say that the i'rab is what? It's marfu'un, and the sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma muqaddara ala al-ya al-mahdufa. We had that in lesson one. Okay, the ya is deleted. The sign of its i'rab is on the ya that's deleted. It's muqaddara. We said that the ism manqus has takdiri i'rab when it's marfu'un and when it's majroor. When it's mansub, the ya is not deleted, and therefore we see the sign of the i'rab as a fatha zahira. But when it's marfu'un and majroorun, yani it loses its ya, and therefore the i'rab is going to be takdiri. It's going to be dhamma muqaddara or kasra muqaddara on the ya al-mahdufa if the ya is deleted, because it doesn't have alif lam, or because it's not mudaf, or it's not mansub. Alright, so again, one more time. Lilwai ma'anin kathira, ma'anin is the mubtada marfu'un, sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma muqaddara on the ya al-mahdufa, the ya that's deleted. Second one, mansub. A'rifu lilwawi ma'aniya kathiratan. Ma'aniya kathiratan. I know many meanings for wow. I know that for the word wow, many meanings. In this sentence, أعرفُ للواوي معانية كثيرة. معانية is the مفعول به of أعرفُ. معانية is the مفعول به منسوب. Sign of منسوب is فتحة ظاهرة. And كثيرة is a not describing it, so it's also منسوب. Here, the ya is not omitted. Why? Because the word here, the ism mankus, is mansub. It doesn't lose its ya if it's mansub, if it's mudaf, or if it has alif lam. So the ya is here, and the irab is yani seen. Yani it has takdiri irab if it's not mansub, if it's marfu'un and majroor. Third sentence, majroor. Ta'ati al-waw. الواو لمعان كثيرة. تأتي الواو. The واو comes. تأتي is the فعل. واو is the فعل مرفوع with ضمة. The واو comes لمعان كثيرة. For many meanings. يعني it's used for many to mean different things. واو العطف. واو القسم. واو الحال. It has many meanings. In this sentence, معان is the object of the preposition لي. And kathiratin is a not describing it, so it's also majroor. Ma'anin is the object of the preposition li. Therefore, it's majroor. But the sign of it being majroor is not kasra. The sign of it being majroor is al-fatha al-muqaddara ala al-ya al-mahdufa. Pay attention here. The sign of it being majroor is kasra. I mean, the sign of being majroor is fatha muqaddara, not kasra. Fatha muqaddara. Why is it fatha muqaddara? Yani it's muqaddara because the ya, the last letter that you would see it on is omitted, right? It's ya al-mahdufa. But why is it fatha instead of kasra? Because ma'anin is on the pattern of mafail. Yani a pattern that's mamnu min al-sarf. And words that are mamnu min al-sarf don't take kasra when they are majroor. They take fatha. Niyabatan. Yani they take fatha in place of kasra. Unless a word that's mamnu min al-sarf has alif lam, or it is yani mudaf. In that case, it will take its normal i'rab when it's majroor with kasra. But here, that's not the case. It doesn't have alif lam, and it's not yani mudaf. So it is mamnu min al-sarf. The sign of it being majroor because of the li, the sign of being majroor, instead of being kasra, in its place, it is fatha. Muqaddara, yani ala al-ya al-mahdufa. Because the ya is omitted, so the i'rab is going to be muqaddara. Yani ism manqus, when it's marfoon and majroor, yani it has takdiri i'rab. But instead of it being kasra, muqaddara is fatha muqaddara, because it's mamnu' min al-sarf, so it doesn't take kasra when it is majroor, unless it has alif lam or it's mudaf. Here's an example with alif lam. Okay, the same type of sentences, but this time, or the same usage, yani the word ma'anin, but this time with alif lam, so it's going to have its full form al ma'ani when it's marfu'un, mansub, and majroor. Okay, we don't have much time left, but let's look at these last three examples. Here's an example with alif lam. When it's marfu'un, al ma'ani kathiratun. The meanings are many. The meanings are many. Al-ma'ani is the mubtada, marfu'un. Kathiratun is the khabar, marfu'un, with dhamma. Al-ma'ani, though, its i'rab is that it's the mubtada. Therefore, it's marfu'un. And the sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma muqaddara. Dhamma muqaddara. Why? Because it's an ism manqus. An ism manqus, yani its i'rab when it's marfu'un is muqaddara. It's i'rab when it's majroor is muqaddara. You don't see the dhamma appearing on al-ma'aniyu. You just say al-ma'ani, al-wadi, al-qadi, al-muhami, al-madi. You don't see the dhamma. And you don't see the kasra when it is marfu'un and majroor. So you say al-ma'ani, the meanings, kathiratun are many. Al-ma'ani is mubtada, marfu'un, wa lam turafihi dhamma muqaddara, al-ya. الثابتة, the ya that's present. منسوب أَكَتَبْتَ الْمَعَانِيَ Did you write the meanings? أَكَتَبْتَ الْمَعَانِيَ In this sentence, كَتَبَ is the فِعِل, تَا, the pronoun تَا is the فَاعِل, and الْمَعَانِ is the مَفْعُولٌ بِ, and we said that the اسم منقوص, when it is منسوب, its إعراب is clear. It's يعني ظاهر, it's not يعني تقديري. So you see, الْمَعَانِيَ is the مَفْعُولٌ بِ, منسوب, وَلَامَةُ نَصْبِحِ, فَتْحَ ظَاهِرًا. You see the فَتْحَ. And the last one, on page 18, top of the page, last example they gave us, سَأَلْتُ الْمُدَرِّسَ عَنِ الْمَعَانِي. سَأَلْتُ الْمُدَرِّسَ عَنِ الْمَعَانِي. I asked the teacher about the meanings. This one is a little bit tricky. Please pay careful attention. Keeping in mind the rules of what? Ism manqus. Yani the ism manqus. And also the rules of yani mafa'il. Yani the broken plural patterns that are mamnoon and sarf. Sa'altu al-mudarrisa an al-ma'ani. Sa'ala is the fi'l. Tu is the fa'il. Al-mudarrisa is the mafulun bi mansub with fatha. An is harf jar. And al-ma'ani is ism majroor. Al-ma'ani is ism majroor. So in this case, the i'rab of ma'ani, we say al-ma'ani is ism majroor bi an, because of the preposition an. Wa'lamatu jarrihi is going to be what? Kasra muqaddara. Kasra muqaddara. The sign of it being majroor is kasra muqaddara ala al-ya al-thabita. Yani, the sign of being majroor is kasra, even though it is on the pattern of mafail. And mafail pattern is mamnu'a min al-sarf. But here, because the word that's mamnu'a min al-sarf has alif lam, when a word that's mamnu'a min al-sarf, yani is majroor, it doesn't take kasra, it takes fatha. Unless it has alif lam or it's mudaf, in that case it's no longer mamnu min sarf, so it has its normal sign. So in this sentence, an al-ma'ani has alif lam, so it's not mamnu min sarf. So we say alamatu jarrihi kasra muqaddara. Yani we don't see it, but it's kasra muqaddara ala al-ya. Yani the ya that is thabita. And that is because words that are mamnu min sarf, when they have alif lam, yani the sign of them being majroor is the regular sign kasra. And the same thing if it was mudaf, we would say the sign of it being majroor, the word that's mamnu' min sarf, if it is yani mudaf also, yani this would take it out of being mamnu' min sarf. And so we could see, for example, darastu fi madarisi al-madinati. Yani I studied in the schools of Medina. Madaris is on the pattern of mafail, mamnu'a min al-sarf, but here it's mudaf. Madarisi al-Madina. It's mudaf, and therefore it's no longer mamnu'a min al-sarf. So it takes the fi madarisi, it takes kasra, which is normal. And an example of this in the Quran is in the 95th surah, 4th ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Yani in this sentence, أحسن, yani it's on the pattern, it's an adjective on the pattern of a verb. Yani as-sifa ala wazni af'al. It's on the pattern of a verb, therefore it's mamnu' min as-sarf. But here, because it is mudaf to taqweem, ahsani taqweem, so fi, yani makes it majroor, and the sign of being majroor is kasra. And I think we'll suffice with this. I hope that it is clear. I see something written here. I didn't look at when completing the i'rab for the construction with prohibition interrogation, when the min is entered upon the khabar or the fa'il, do we still classify these as khabar and fa'il but say that they are majroor because of min? Yes. And it's still, and you can look at the i'rab both ways. You can still say that it is the fa'il, and you can say that it is marfu'un, and the sign of being marfu'un is dhamma muqaddara. But when we see it in writing, we see the kasra because of min. Yes, because of min. So it looks like yani the wording of it is majroor because of the min. But the actual yani form of it is that it's the fa'al marfu'un, and the sign of being marfu'un is dhamma muqaddara. So we could say fa'al, we don't say fa'al majrur bi min. We say fa'al marfu'un. Walamatu raf'ihi dhamma muqaddara. But the wording of it, yani, takes kasratain because of the preposition min. I was understanding that I should use li, ma'adha, in front of a verb, and ma'u, before a noun, ma'u, or ma. In class, we took the sentence, ma'asha ladayka, and ma'adha andaka. Is one more correct? Also, barakallahu fik, is there a difference between jawarin and fata in meaning? We see ma in front of ladayka, ma'adha ladayka. Yeah, I mean, it is generally, ma'adha is used with verbs, generally speaking, but it's possible to use it either way. Between jawarin and fata, fatat, yani the meanings are close, yani it means a young person. Now, the meanings are not that much different. It depends on the context that it's used in. Understood, jazakallah khair. Okay, yeah, so... I'm sorry that I'm not looking at these questions as they are actually coming in, but it's better, and it would be better if the question came at the time when we're discussing that issue, so that it's clear to me as well what's being asked. But in any case, that's my shortcoming, because I don't normally look at the screen. I'm normally looking at my book. But in any case, we'll try to do better in the future. I hope that I've answered the question. Yani, it says understood, so that means that question is clear. Yeah.